Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
She's been in the personal finance industry for about 2 decades. She worked with CNBC for 6 years. And then she started her own personal finance platform for women. Sejal Patel is my guest today. She's founder and CEO of Sejal. We're taking a closer look with Sejal at a survey by investment management firm BlackRock, which shows that money is a top source of stress for most Singaporeans. Many millennial respondents saying they knew they would be better financially if they started investing. But 60% saying they don't know where to find reliable investment advice, with most turning to financial advisors or friends or families or finance websites for guidance. Sejal, according to this survey, if we look at women, Singaporean women of the millennial age in particular are investment shy, with just 58% of them owning investments. This compared to the 84% of millennial age women, similarly aged women in Hong Kong, 74% in China. Why do you think women of this particular age group in Singapore seem less confident about investing?
Yeah, Michelle, thanks for having me on, first of all. You know, it's just fascinating. This is not just pertain to Singapore women. This is globally that we actually see this. And we actually have to go back to almost how women have been institutionalized, right? I get a lot of feedback from women saying, well, you know, it's not really my world. I don't want to take a lot of risk. And to be honest, I think that the industry has actually underrepresented women or misunderstood a lot of women. In fact, women are not even risk averse. They're actually more risk aware. And so when they actually understand the process and you educate them properly, they will invest and they will make the decisions. And this is where I'm spending a lot of time with financial institutions to get them to understand that women think very differently about money and the approach is very different. So once you actually get them on board and you understand how they think, they are on board.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me a little bit about your work with these institutions. What sort of insights are you sharing with them about women and money?
Yeah, well, a lot of it is that they do think differently about money. And, you know, you have to understand for years, the financial industry has been male dominated, right? So naturally, they're going to have the male bias coming in. That's, you know, we can't really blame men. It's just that we ourselves as women have biases. So they tend to think that way and serve that way and create products that way. But when you start shifting and understanding that the women think differently, for example, they think a lot more holistically. So when you're trying to sell them a product or a solution, a woman will almost always say, okay, well, how does this fit into my life goals? I want to buy, I want to go on vacation. I want to buy property. I want to make sure that the kids are educated. How does this help me reach goals? Men don't necessarily think like that. They're more siloed and they're like, right, how is this going to make me a lot of money? Mm. So that's one insight. The other insight is really, and the big discussion that I am having with financial institutions is, when women are controlling 35% of the global wealth, and by the way, that's rising very quickly in Asia, this is a segment, if you want to call it, not really a niche because women do make up 50% of the population. It's a segment that you can't afford to ignore anymore. And we have seen stats where, you know, something like 70% of Singaporean women feel like wealth managers misunderstand them.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. 70% of women will leave their advisor within 1 year after their husband passes away. There's something like 57% of Singaporean women do not have financial advisors, despite over half being completely overwhelmed with the financial industry or the financial planning process as well. So it tells you that there is a huge untapped opportunity to actually make sure that they're on board and create financial security for them.
Incredible numbers there. Really huge. I can understand why you say you don't think money is gender neutral.
I don't think it's gender neutral, right? And part of it is also because women do have different challenges than men. You know, we often talk about the inequality gap, or most would say that's the wage gap, right? Typically, women will make anywhere from 70 to 80% or on the dollar,
yes,
right, 20-30% less than a man. Not only that, they live longer, they take career breaks to raise a family or take care of elderly parents. And all of that over time, Michelle, adds up, right? It means less saving. It means less entitlement to pension.
Mm.
And so women can be at risk, really, in running out of money at retirement. So they do have to think differently about their finances.
What's the difference between financial literacy and financial capability? We put that question to founder and CEO of a great platform, a consultancy and education platform, the CEO of Sejal, joining me live. She's Sejal Patel. She's a real advocate for women's financial wellness, and her website is Sejal. What is the URL that we need to head to?
Sejal.
Sejal.com?
Sajel.com. Sajelle.
Terrific. You said, you know, you work with banks and financial institutions, so mm-hmm. they can understand that women think holistically about money. Mm-hmm. Do you tailor your workshops when it comes to what you do on your platform to deliver information holistically, so to speak, as well?
Absolutely. You know, you touched on financial literacy, the difference between literacy and capability. And Michelle, this is very important because we often think that, you know, if we provide people information or women information on how to invest and how to actually do their financial planning or what it takes to do a will, that we're going to reach financial wellness. And that's actually a very small piece of it because it is very much behavioral driven, right? And I always use this example. If I were to have a room full of women saying, hey, do you know how to lose 10 pounds or 5 pounds? Everyone could tell me how to do it. Does it mean that everyone would be successful? No. Right? Because it is very much behavioral driven. And why? So capability is really also about having confidence in your ability to learn. And it's also about engagement with the financial services. Because my big message is, if we want to be financially well, we actually have to engage with the financial industry. We have to invest. We have to buy insurance products or protection, right? So there's a lot of things that we actually need to think about. So when I approach my workshops, mm-hmm. I really tackle the behavioral part and get people to understand that sometimes our emotions actually get in the way of the logical part. Everyone knows that they should be saving more and spending less and investing.
Mm.
But let's talk about the real deep issues, the fears that actually come into play that actually prevent us from being financially well.
So you work with women, I suppose, across Canada, Hong Kong, and Singapore. Here you are visiting.
Yes.
What is the number one sort of challenge that women bring forward when it comes to working with money?
I would say that this is just in general, right? Mm-hmm. We all feel like we'll have time. You know, life gets in the way. I'm always hearing from women, you know, we just don't have time. We're busy with work. We're balancing, juggling kids and everything else. And it's actually a misconception because managing money or setting it up the right way actually doesn't take a lot of time. Once you set it up, it's only a matter of managing it and perhaps revisiting it once, twice a year. And that's probably one of the biggest misconceptions.
I think it's also, as women, we feel we don't want to get started until we know everything
yes.
about investing yeah. in REITs, for example, before
yeah.
we start.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And what I would say is there's a basic knowledge that you need to know. And this is actually what I teach in workshops. It is actually phenomenal when women come in and they say, we really don't know anything. And 3 hours later, they feel very empowered. And I can tell you, I still get messages months after they've done the workshop saying, I'm starting to invest. I feel a lot more confident. And it really is about how you approach the teaching.
Can right? you teach a woman to start investing in 3 hours?
You can get them interested.
Mm.
And that's what I say. Like, I will teach you the basic skills, but I actually want you to be interested and understand that when you read something, how it actually applies to your life and how to cut out the noise. Because that's the other feedback I get a lot of, right, Michelle? There's so much information out there. Like, well, what do we trust? How do we pick from 50 funds? Which one do we really know? And this is the stuff that I actually go through. through and help them cut out the noise so they can actually make a decision.
Very interesting. We got to get one of those workshops on air. So I think for many people, they think investing is very, very daunting.
Yeah.
What do you say to that perceived obstacle?
It's not. Mm. It's not. You know, if you can learn basic skills, just understanding, and I always say start with your life goals, right? Understand what it is you want to achieve in the short term, in the medium term, you know, 5 to 10 years, and long term. And long term, you should always have retirement planning as part of that, right? Yep. Once you understand that and a general idea of what the cost should be, then you can start looking at some of the products. Whether it's bonds, whether it's cash, something more liquid, whether it's stocks, and then take a look at, well, what do I need to do and how do those pieces actually fit in to the life goals? Because the whole idea is to make sure that your money works the most effective way. So when I teach that and talk about diversification and explain what's important there, they figure it out pretty quickly.
Mm. So if I come back to the BlackRock study that we started the show with, it revealed that women in Singapore of the millennial age say they're very hesitant to use investment as a basis for their retirement. 66% rely mainly on savings when it comes to planning for their retirement. What do you think of that?
I think it's very dangerous. And I'll tell you why. Because you do need cash, right? And I've even done surveys of this where not just women, but Singaporeans in general will hold a lot of cash in the bank. The problem with this is that you're not earning any interest, right?
Or very and low it's not, interest, yeah.
And it's not keeping up with inflation. We know that costs are rising. Everything's getting a lot more expensive. So you actually have to make that money work for you. It doesn't mean that you don't keep money in cash. You need some liquidity, certainly for emergency, certainly if you're buying something in the next year. But beyond that, you actually want that money to work for you. And it doesn't mean that you have to take huge risks, right? You can buy a bond. You can diversify it in a way where you are earning even 4 to 6%, but it's better than keeping it in cash.
Do you remember when you started to make your money work for you?
I did. And believe it or not, I started when I was 16.
Love it.
16 years old. I didn't quite know what I was doing, but I remember my parents had an advisor who came to the house and I said, right, I have a part-time job. I want to put 10% away of my paycheck. And the advisor was fantastic. They explained a few things to me and I figured it out. Because we're very resourceful people and we sometimes underestimate that, right? You don't have to know everything. Ask the right questions. And believe me, you'll figure it out.
It's a great, great way to end. The quality of your life is the quality of your questions.
Absolutely. You
know? I love it, love it. She's founder and CEO of Sejal, Sejal Patel. And you can check out her consultancy platform. It's an educational platform. She also consults with financial institutions. She's changing the way we approach financial wellness. Sejal, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.